we can be sure that things will be different going forward. Without casting values in any direction, our job is to remind you all that there are maybe opportunities here that you will, that you should seize upon. Going forward, one thing is projected, and that is that taxes will likely go down. Whether that means that it will be down in the long term is yet to be seen. We are completing a near historic expansion period with rates, interest rates among the lowest they've been as well. We're going into a period now that will likely be of significant expense and expenditures. This will increase the deficit. It will also likely be compounded as rates rise, as the pundits and the experts are saying inflation is beginning to touch up, also as it impacts the strength of the dollar overseas and our strategies with respect to global trade. Each of these can and will likely have an impact on the strength of the dollar and also on rates. How high will rates go? We don't know. But if rates climb and in and our deficit climbs, we could find that short-term tax advantages could wind up reversing in the next presidential election to cover the cost of the expenses that this country for sure needs to bear. Some experts have said we should have incurred these expenses for our infrastructure years earlier. That is not a value that we want to get involved on this call. But what we are saying is this period is one of uncertainty, likely taxes going down. But for sure, there is no certainty down the road as to where taxes or the economy will go, particularly, again, in light of the fact that we are breaching a historic expansion period since 2009. What does that mean for our short term? Well, if taxes today are higher than what we can project under the Trump administration going forward for the first couple of years, it would portend and be good strategy to say, what can I do to take advantage of deductions today when rates are higher and my deduction has a more impactful tax, more impactful tax relevance, meaning my deduction will mean more to my bottom line. And if tax rates are lower in the future, what can I do to postpone my income so that I pay at a lower bracket once the rate changes? If the Trump administration gets a tax bill passed, then it is likely that some portion of that will be passed in the next 12 months, which would be retroactive to January 1, 2017. It is in our interest to then say whatever income I can push to 2017, I should, and 2017 means January 1, 2017, January 10, 2017. And with respect to deductions, what can I take in 2016 that will have the impact of the highest possible tax rate that we may be paying over the next several years? What does that mean? That means December 25th, 2016, December 29th, 2016, December 31st, 2016 are all times when your deduction or your expense incurred will benefit this year at a lower rate, at a higher, at a more advantageous rate for deductions, and then postponing income at its best rate for 2017 in the new year. So where you have deductions, pay estimated taxes. We're on to number one. Pay your estimated taxes for January in December. Make your January mortgage payment in December. And for sure, as you know, we are very, very focused on charity and assisting and guiding our clients with foundations and participating in charitable organizations and boards. make your charitable donations in 2016, including the idea of transferring appreciated stock in 2016 and enjoying the tax benefits of the deduction on the fully appreciated stock in 2016. Every expense that you can come up with within reason, run through your accounting group, run through our accounting group, and we can assure you that you are getting the best advice in advance of year end. Number two, simple stuff, postpone the receipt of income. If you're on a cash basis as a taxpayer, delay your year-end billings, meaning put your bills through to your clients into the new year. And so if you think that the marginal rate could be 3, 4, 5, 6% different in 2017 versus 2016, and you postpone $100,000, $200,000, $300,000, $500,000 worth of income into 2017, that impact per $100,000 could wind up being $4,000, $5,000, $6,000 in your pocket just by going to a January 1 date versus a December 28 date. And for every $100,000, add another $5,000, $6,000, $7,000 depending on where we ultimately settle on your into your pocket. Do not buy capital assets this year. Number three, under Trump's proposal, a business will be able to expense the entire purchase. So if you own commercial property, or you own a company that has heavy equipment, or you own a company that owns automobiles or any piece of that, as you know, when you go to dinner or when you are marketing your company, that is an immediate expense that you get a deduction. When you're dealing with capital improvements such as replacing an air conditioner or a new piece of heavy equipment or an automobile, et cetera, the benefit is the logic behind this not being an immediate deduction is that that expenditure is something that you will enjoy for many years. And so you have to treat it as a capital expense and then deduct it in the form of depreciation, a portion each year, by depreciating this asset. Under the Trump proposal, if you would purchase under his new tax regime, if it gets passed, you would be able to expense it immediately in the first year. So an air conditioning unit that could cost you $20,000 for your commercial building, you would have to expense that over the useful life in 2016, and that would be over many years. But if you buy it in 2017 and his tax bill gets approved, you'll get a $20,000 deduction in the year in 2017. Number four, make gifts to charities and family foundations with appreciated assets. We spoke about this just a minute ago. Consider gifting low basis stock instead of selling it and then paying the gains tax and then getting the deduction on the net after-tax number. By transferring the shares directly, you will have a better tax benefit, even with the distinction between next year's income tax and deduction rates changing. You're better off still taking the transferring the shares now, getting the deduction in 2016, getting the higher tax rate deduction, even though next year's gains tax on the stock sale will be lower. So, again, focus on giving the shares. We just made a commitment to our child's college, and through that we're using appreciated stock so that we can take advantage of the deduction in 2016 and are not concerned about the lower income tax rate in 2017. Also, determine liquidity needs if the foundation needs to make its requirement to pay the 5% of the value of the foundation's net investment assets. You must, depending on the calendar year, as you know, that we set up many, many, many charitable entities, particularly private family foundations, depending on your calendar year, it is essential that if you track your fiscal year tracks the calendar year, You want to make sure you get all of your distributions of your 5% out before year end. Please call us, and we're happy to help make sure that you stay on track with that. If you have a charitable remainder trust, remember to fund that trust with concentrated positions of appreciated securities in order to diversify with adverse tax consequences associated with selling those. So, again, this connects up with the idea that when you have concentrated positions, you have risk that those positions could accelerate down and what we call gap down in price, and you are not diversified in other areas or other within that industry or within other sectors. So you can drop your positions into a charitable event, charitable entity, like a charitable remainder trust or a charitable lead trust, and sell that position and get the deduction in 2016, the year which in theory, again, has the highest tax benefit for you. If you have significant gains in stock positions, again, it may be in your interest to harvest the losses to offset capital gains that you have this year. Your gains tax rates are high in 2016, maybe the highest they'll be in the coming years. So if you can offset that with a disproportionately high amount of losses, that would be better than having the losses pushed forward to 2017 and having less tax benefit. Push the losses into 2016. That's number five on our list. Number six is establish and fund qualified plans. So you can make gifts up to $5,500 to either a traditional or a Roth IRA. As you know, we are big fans of the Roth IRA because not just that you've paid the taxes and then you're enjoying the growth of the IRA without any tax when you withdraw it, you're also avoiding the minimum required distributions that we hit at age 70 and a half. You cannot push it any further. So if you life expectancy for people on this call is north of 90 years, now you have 20 years of compounding inside that Roth IRA that will avoid tax altogether before your children would receive it. So if you're thinking that your IRA is something you will not likely need to draw from, we love the idea of focusing on a Roth IRA. And in particular, since tax this year deductions are in theory going to be greater advantage than 2017, all the more reason to fund your Roth IRA in 2016. Number seven, identify assets and amounts to make proper GRAT distributions before the April 17th date. So as you know, we set up GRATs as a way to move assets into your loved ones' names, always in a trust, where you would effectively loan the asset to them for their use and enjoyment, and then they would pay you back each year a proportionate amount depending on how many years you set up the GRAT, always knowing that we need you to outlive the term of the GRAT. It is important to know, though, that if you're that every year you must make that annuity payment or you destroy the effectiveness of the GRAT. The contract does not work. So you must make your payment. There is a grace period, but it is not unusual for us to have set GRATs up and have them tied to your calendar year so that year end you knew the payment needed to be made. We want to gently remind you all that it is incumbent on you to check the scheduling on your GRATs, reach out to us. We're always happy to help and provide backup for you, but get that payment made back. The GRATs are one of the best things since sliced bread from an estate planning standpoint, and President Obama for years went after GRATs to try to eliminate their efficacy. It will be a critical to ensure that your GRAT payments are made so that we don't blow that opportunity. Okay, number eight, make annual exclusion gifts to chosen loved ones of $28,000. Okay, so husband and wife can give $14,000 each. Those gifts are non-cumulative, You cannot do a 2017 gift in 2016, and you cannot take a 2016 gift and push it forward. What you need to know is that you can make a gift on December 30th, 2016, and then you can make another gift the next day after. Why would you do a gift early in the year in addition to the one you make before the end of this year, at the end of this year? That is because in 2017, you have the full 12 months of that gift to appreciate, and $12,000 in a market that some are predicting will continue to move forward, even though we're in the later stages of the bull market, you could get 8 to 10% on your money, depending on sectors you're in, and wind up $14,000 turns out to be almost $16,000 by the end of the year. And next year, if you waited to the end of the year, you would only have the $14,000 that you could give. So it's the growth as much as the gift itself. Make sure you don't miss this year by the end of the year to get your $14,000 gift, but also make sure that you consider first into the new year to make your second gift. And this can be for children and grandchildren. As you know, we favor the gifts going into trusts where you know these assets are protected, and your children and grandchildren can feel safe from divorces and car accidents and taxation on their estate when they pass away. Every bit of this are reasons why you'd want to have a trust set up for the gifts that you're making on an annual basis. If you put them into a custodial account, your child will have access or grandchild will have access at 18 years of age. In some states, 21 years of age in others, but either 18 or 21, it is far too young for them to have control of those assets. Okay, contribute to 529 plans as well. We have a mixed view on 529s. You have limitations on the assets you can invest in. The fees can be high in 529s. But it is a phenomenal strategy that allows you to have assets that can compound free of tax that you can draw from when you're applying for colleges. We love that concept. We tend to favor with our financial experts on your levels to have the assets go into a trust, and then if it's needed to pay for college for the child or grandchild, it can be drawn from. But if it's not, it can be used to start a business, get married, first home. Investments in family businesses with the cash that's in there. The 529 is far more limited. It is a phenomenal strategy for the working and middle-class income stream. It is less effective, but the concept of salting away money off your balance sheet in a 529 is one that we must embrace and we want you to do for your children and grandchildren, but we would recommend that be inside of a trust. Okay. Now, you can also pay for your children and grandchildren by making gifts directly to the educational institutions and the medical facilities. So be mindful that rather than making the gift to your child and then be limited to $14,000 per person, and then your child making the gift to the colleges or universities or medical institutions, if you make it directly, you skip that limitation of the $14,000 a year, and you're also assured it's going directly to the institution and does not get lost between your delivery and the ultimate medical or educational institutions. This is a very, very wonderful opportunity, particularly for grandparents, to help out and to relieve the burden of colleges, which today are costing $70,000 a year with room and board, a potentially overseas travel, tutors, and so forth. So help by grandparents with these educational institutions and medical facilities is awesome. Number nine. Make distributions of income from trust accounts and estate accounts to lower the income tax liability. So the phenomenal value of trusts is the assets you put in are protected from third parties, from the IRS when it comes to estate tax, from generation skipping tax when we're doing it to assure the allocations are correct. On the other hand, the IRS gives with one hand by giving us the strategy, but takes away by taxing the trust income at the highest marginal tax rate. If the distributions coming from the trust go out and flow into the individual beneficiary's name, often, there are situations where that child is in a much lower tax bracket. And so if the trust makes $100,000 a year and $50,000 is distributed before year end, that $50,000 would be taxed at the child's rate, and maybe you distribute $60,000 and have them have more than enough to pick up the tax on that piece. We do not recommend you making distributions of significant amounts just to avoid the income tax, because once that asset that's distributed is in your child's name, then we are much more vulnerable. So consider a gift that you were going to give anyway or that you were thinking about. Get that out soon enough so that you're now in a situation before year end that we can pick up the tax at your child's rate. Okay, a very, very important piece here. So as estates and trusts are taxed at this highest rate, and including the 3.8% Medicare Obama surtax, it is important, though, that even within those brackets that will change next year, if you do need to make a distribution this year, distribute it directly to the child and have them pay at their rate. Okay. Number 10 is host annual meetings for your family office, your partnerships, and foundations. We continue to emphasize this is a wonderful, wonderful period of time when we are moving assets into partnerships and then into trust and taking advantage of the significant discounts that are still available before the IRS issues its final regs. A non-political party issues its final regs that limit what we can do with partnership discounting. So many of you have created partnerships driven because of the tax issue, but enjoying the tax benefit. The other issues, of course, are centralizing management, providing opportunities for your children to own assets in private equity matters that they wouldn't otherwise qualify for, now having them become qualified investors by gifting their assets into trust for their benefit. So. And asset protection that the partnerships have created. But it is not just important to create them and have it all pass muster with the IRS. It has to continue to be run like a business. The same with your foundations and, of course, for our clients with whom we're managing their family office. So with respect to all of these, you must have annual meetings. And the annual meeting is essential so that you are running this like a business. So we can also assist you not only in the scheduling and participating in that annual meeting, but also to help you work through and continue to realize your family mission. You know, what is the purpose of the foundation? Are we having mission drift? What is the purpose of the partnership? And does it support the family mission of continuing to build wealth in a conservative and an appropriate way, demonstrating participation from family members, ensuring that they too are earning their keep as members of the family and the family business, and giving them a voice so that they can fully appreciate the work that you're doing on their behalf for the greatest good for the family. So annual meetings are essential, too, because the IRS wants to know that you are running this not just as a business for the initial application, but as a business going forward, and you can demonstrate that with minutes for your annual meeting. That represents the top 10 for you. We wish you a wonderful Thanksgiving week. I want to finish by, some have asked where we think the estate tax rates can go. There is significant talk out there. The Trump platform has talked about eliminating the estate tax altogether. There are people in Congress who agree. Controlling both houses, however, does not mean that it is an automatic. that the estate tax will go, or, more importantly, that it is an automatic that the estate tax will end. It is a very early period in our history, the 1970s, when estate tax rates in the U.S. were at the top bracket, 70%. It is also essential to know that Hillary Clinton, who received the popular vote but did not get the Electoral College, likely as they're coming up on their vote, to support her, wanted tax rates of over 50% and an exemption of 3.5 million, a significant, significant disparity with what is going on, likely to move forward in Congress right now. President Trump, elect Trump, has 18 months before the next congressional election comes through for him to demonstrate that the U.S. economy and those disenfranchised, particularly in the Rust Belt areas, who voted in favor of President Trump, will look to see where the jobs are coming. These were blue states. And the pundits are saying if he does not get the success that we can only hope that he gets for the benefit of our country, the House could switch. And so what does that mean for estate tax? Well, we may get to a period where the estate tax is eliminated, and at that time it will present a tremendous opportunity to do tax planning. But we also must say that these tax planning opportunities run in cycles. And again, to reemphasize that if the candidate who received the popular vote wanted to reduce the exemption and increase estate taxes, it flows in the exact opposite direction of where President-elect Trump is. So we must be very, very mindful that there is a whole group, significant group of people that would want to reverse in the same way that President-elect Trump is seeking to reverse or amend Obamacare. We could see the same thing happening in reverse with estate tax and income taxes. So let's be nimble. Let's take advantage of the opportunities that they come, and let's be pray for our country that things will continue to get better. And I look forward to getting together with you all and coming up with our final presentation in December. In the meantime, have a wonderful vacation for Thanksgiving, and look forward to speaking with you then.